Sup, freaks. This rip was brought to you by our good friends at Unchained. We've got a special event for you, an online event. Bitcoin is hitting its stride with massive ETF inflows, major geopolitical changes, increasing corporate adoption, and a proposed U.S. strategic reserve. 2025 is shaping up to be a defining year. I think it's pretty safe to say that if you've been paying attention. You probably should be. Here's a real question you need to be asking yourself. Are you ready? Is your Bitcoin house in order? If you're not sure, you're in luck. On December 10th, Unchained is hosting the central session focused on helping you get positioned for what's ahead. You walk away with a clear path to your end of year moves, smarter strategies for bringing your family into Bitcoin, and the confidence of knowing you're set up for the long haul. Join Unchained General Counsel Jeff Vandrew and Adamant Capital founder Ter Demeester, both have been on this podcast many times, to understand what makes this moment different and the key moves you need to consider from year-end planning to bring your family into Bitcoin the right way. With the bull run gaining momentum, this is your window to get ready for what's ahead. Register at unchained.com/RHR. That's unchained.com/RHR. This rip was also brought to you by our good friends at CoinKite. CoinKite produces the best Bitcoin hardware in the world. If you're watching the video right now, you can see their block clock behind me. It is the only true block clock, the best block clock. They also have the Cold Card MK4 and the Cold Card Q, the most secure Bitcoin hardware devices on the market. Two secure enclaves, the ability to create private public key pairs offline in an air gap fashion. MK4 looks like a little rudimentary calculator. The Q is more advanced, looks like a BlackBerry. It's got a full QWERTY keyboard, has a QR scanner, NFC enabled. Both of them are NFC enabled. And the Q has a battery pack, so you can do everything without having to be connected to a wall. It's a beautiful thing. Go to CoinKite.com, check out all these products, pick them up, use the code RHR for 5% off at checkout. Last but not least, this rip was brought to you by our good friends at Stackwork. Stackwork is a cloud sourcing platform that combines the power of humans and AI. If you've listened to us discuss Simple Proof and Digital Witness and how they secured the Guatemalan election on the show, Stackwork and their distributed cloud sourcing workforce helped secure that Guatemalan election. Right now, they're looking for mobile developers. So if you are looking for a job in the Bitcoin space, that is not only at the cutting edge of Bitcoin, but also AI. Hit up Stackwork, go to their careers page, find it. They're looking for Swift and Kotlin mobile devs right now. So if you're a Swift or a Kotlin developer looking for a job in the space, looking to be on the cutting edge, go hit up Stackwork. And you can go to their website at Stackwork. That's STAKWORK.AI. Enjoy this rip. Okay.
You've had a dynamic where money's become freer than free.
If you talk about a Fed just gone nuts, all the central banks going nuts.
So it's all acting like safe haven.
I believe that in a world where central bankers are tripping over themselves to devalue their currency, Bitcoin wins. In the world of fiat currencies, Bitcoin is the victor.
I mean, that's part of the bull case for Bitcoin.
If you're not paying attention, you probably should be.
And I've been a skeptic over the years because of some of the things that you just quoted Powell on in terms of its store of value. It's not a currency equivalent, right? It is a speculative asset. And we say, be very, very careful. Be very careful. We don't have it in client assets right now. There are ways to play it through the exchanges. But certainly it's getting the attention and we're getting lots of questions about it.
40% since the election, but 60% ARR for 15 years or 10 or 15 years. So you've missed it.
We have missed that.
Yeah.
We did miss the U.S. equity market, though, so we got that, which has been a strong performer over the last
decade. He's got that
decade.
Going for him.
He's got that going for him. Enjoy your equity market returns, buddy.
Best Bitcoin podcast of all time, Squawk Box.
Joe Kernan just going in. As the price goes up, 100,275 cuck bucks right now.
Joe's just getting started. Should be a fun cycle for him.
When do you think he leaves CNBC and just starts his own? Straight to the People Bitcoin podcast.
I mean, why? He's got the best one already.
That's true.
And like Sorkin really is a good foil to it. right? Like, that's what makes it great.
Sorkin's got to be thinking, though, like, I'm looking like an idiot for going on a decade now.
That clip's great. That clip's going to, that's a little piece of history right there. Happy 100K for you.
Happy 100K. Matt, surprise me with the jacket.
Mario had no idea.
Making me feel like a true, disgusting human being, like wearing my sweater here.
It felt like the right moment. Historic.
Historic is right. I stayed up way too late last night.
In a classic lesson of humility, we passed 100K Bitcoin while I was in bed with my sick son, and he had finally fallen asleep. So I had to like maintain my emotions. I had a sick wife and a sick son, and then it was just me, just like wide awake for like 3 hours, just laying in bed.
We took
a
stroll.
Good, humble way of celebrating.
We took a stroll through Zilker Park last night. They have a beautiful Christmas light show set up, and since we're in the neighborhood, we get the early bird special, get to go walk through, and we did that a little late for the boys, a little past their bedtime. They're a little cranky. There was a little emotion in the car ride home. We get home, look at the block clock micro, and we had crossed 100,000. The vibes of the family switched immediately. And then I could not help myself but stay on Twitter and look at the reaction for the better part of 7 hours last night. I went to bed at 3 a.m. Shame on me.
That's pretty hilarious. Yeah, I went to sleep pretty early, actually.
I got to bend out. I wanted to make sure I rode a bent the night that we crossed $100,000. Massive, massive, momentous occasion. It's weird because did we go under?
Thank you, sir. Seth just zapped us 100,000 sats.
Wow, Seth.
Thank you, Matt and Marty. You have both been an instrumental part in my Bitcoin journey and education over the last 2.5 years. It's an honor to get to work in Bitcoin, let alone with you guys and so many other Bitcoiners. I'm very excited about the future. Cheers. I think that's the largest zap we've ever received.
Shout out to you, Seth. I mean,
Seth works with Satoshi Pacioli, the best Bitcoin accountant in the world.
As I had a call with Seth earlier today. We're going to get to a very important topic later in the show, and I'll bring Seth back up at that point in the show.
It looks like the freaks like my green jacket. Freaks, this is the only suit jacket I own. It's my
You got married
jacket.
In that.
Yeah, it's my wedding jacket.
I knew I recognized that jacket.
I did not win the Masters.
Not yet. Who knows? Bitcoin 100K, maybe you're going to go do goats and other stuff, and the other stuff's going to be golf. You're going to get good enough to play in the Masters one day. Long time. Do you think this is significant? Like I was saying before, Seth graciously zapped us 100,000 sats.
All right. Distracted.
There is something psychological about crossing the six-figure mark. For the last 2 weeks, we've been hovering right below it, between 92, 98, 99K, and we're only $750 above 100,000. But 100,000, like 98,000, seems closer to 60,000 than it does $100,737. There's something psychological. It seems like we've pulled ourselves up on a plateau headed to the peak, and we're looking down at the past, at part one of Bitcoin's story, and looking forward to part two, at least to me. Do you get that feeling at all?
Yeah. I mean, I think it's, you know, from a human emotion standpoint, it's very psychological, right? We've talked about in the past, you know, I think $100 was really psychological to people, $1,000, $10,000, $100,000. And then what's the next psychological number after that? It's $1,000,000. And it definitely feels, I don't know, like, I mean, once again, fucking, of course, in classic Bitcoin timing, I was like trying not to wake up the sick baby that was like impossible to put him down. And I have three dogs. So it's like you have like night guards watching you. So like you can't even like walk around that much because they just get excited, you know, and then they might wake the baby. But my phone was blowing up. It was like New Year's. It was like, congrats on 100K. It was like, I got more congratulations than New Year's. So, I mean, I think anyone, I don't think we have to explain it to the freaks, right? I think we all just lived through it. It clearly, going into it, you feel that there's going to be a psychological impact of 100K, right? But at 99K, I don't think I really appreciated how that affects humans until we had actually slammed through it, right? And then at that point, like, it was immediately obvious. Like, you felt it, I felt it, you know, millions of people felt it.
Yeah, the text and calls. I got calls, people calling me. I have one good buddy from college, won't call him out by name, but he knows who he is. Was one of the only people that listened to me back in 2013. And he, somebody grew up like right behind Wrigley Field, lived with his parents in college when we were seniors. I was like, you should probably think about buying Bitcoin. And he started aping in like while he was living in his parents' house, buying Bitcoin. Anytime we hit these historical milestones, he gives me a call. And we talked for like 15 minutes last night. And those are the best moments. You get the people that are thankful that listen, that took it. And with that, I'm going to ninja launch this on you. I think you'll be happy. And I think Bitstein did an incredible job of encapsulating.
We're not playing the video.
No, we're playing the video. It's a minute and 50 seconds.
No. It's a great video, but like the audio, it doesn't have any audio really. It's just going to be like,
it's good classical music. If you're listening on the podcast, enjoy a minute and 50 seconds of some good classical music.
It's a fantastic video. And I know Bitstein has been waiting 4 years to post it. Okay, fine. Play it. But just know if you're listening to the podcast version, Marty hates you.
I don't hate you. I love you. And you're going to enjoy this classical music. And for anybody watching the video version, I think, again, what I was trying to do, I want to play.
Why don't you narrate as the captions come up on the video version? Why don't you narrate it for the podcast freaks? How about that?
Okay. I am a voice actor now, so we can do this.
Okay. Here we go.
Bitcoin has no intrinsic value. Bitcoin is just for buying drugs. Bitcoin is a Ponzi scheme. Bitcoin is evil. Bitcoin wastes energy. Bitcoin doesn't scale. Tulips. Bitcoin is MySpace. Bitcoin is too volatile. Bitcoin can be copied. Someone lost their Bitcoin password. My grandma can't use Bitcoin. Bitcoin is no merchant adoption. Quantum computers. Bitcoin is too slow. Bitcoin is just for speculation. Bitcoin fees are too expensive. Bitcoin is too expensive. The Bitcoin price crashed. Tether. Bitcoin is anonymous. Bitcoin isn't anonymous. China controls Bitcoin. China banned Bitcoin. Bitcoin is deflationary. Bitcoin needs inflation for security. Bitcoin isn't scarce because altcoins. Bitcoin isn't scarce because it's divisible. Blockchain, not Bitcoin. Bitcoin exchanges can be hacked. Bitcoin is a cult. Bitcoiners are toxic. Bitcoin distribution is unfair. Bitcoin doesn't pay developers. Shadowy supercoders. Bitcoin enables the ransomware. Bitcoin is just a tulip. I messed that one up. Bitcoin is used by terrorists. The government will ban Bitcoin. Bitcoin is a bubble. And all the people rejoiced and said, God save the coin. Long live the coin. God save the coin. May Bitcoin live forever. Couple messed there, but the point is
that was the best thing ever. I'm so glad that we had you. Fucking nailed it. Great teamwork, Marty. Great teamwork, Christine. It all came together. That was the moment.
But it encapsulates the first 16 years. And it is crazy how it's all coalescing. Like 16 years, Bitcoin's had its quinceañera earlier this year. 16 is in Western culture defined as a year of maturity. You can get your license, you can go do things in many states, and you begin to leave childhood into early adulthood, late teenage years. Bitcoin is there. We pass 100K. And like the cold open said, you missed it. Many people have been deriding it. Tulips, Tether.
No one
didn't miss it. No, but I think this is a celebratory, not the opposite of a struggle session, whatever that is, that we're going to have here. We're going to, we did it.
Did you see the Financial Times article?
Yes. The biggest,
I forgot to link that.
The biggest load of cope ever.
Financial Times, who's been hating on Bitcoin forever, wrote a op-ed apologizing to readers. And the last line, the last paragraph is the best. We're sorry if at any moment in the past 14 years you chose based on our coverage not to buy a thing whose number has gone up. It's nice when your number goes up. And we're sorry if you misunderstood our crypto cynicism to be a declaration of support for TradFi, because we hate that too.
Yeah, cope.
Fucking hilarious. We love your timeline. Logan, did you see what I put as the link to the top story of Bitcoin passing 0.1 million? I'm sure you saw this, Marty, right?
Yes. A truth. Is that what we call this? A truth?
Yeah, Trump posted to Truth Social.
Congratulations, Bitcoiners. 100,000. You're welcome. Together, we will make America great again. Thank you, President Trump.
Did you ever watch Moana with your boys?
Yes.
I just thought, I immediately thought of The Rock and the You're Welcome song.
You're welcome. My youngest had a Moana phase a couple months ago. Moana 2's out. Haven't seen it yet.
I have not either, actually.
What are your thoughts on the Trump comment?
I mean, it's fucking hilarious. We live in the best timeline.
We really do. It's been a long journey.
President-elect telling us you're welcome for passing 100K.
You know what? I'll give it. I'll let him do it. Who cares?
I mean, of course he can do it. No one's stopping him. But I'm not. I mean, he obviously, his election definitely helped the immediate short-term price action. But there's a lot of people I would thank before him in terms of this journey so far.
Yeah.
It's important that he thinks it was all him. That's right. Good. That's good for Bitcoin.
Yeah. The YouTube chat's popping off. Zap.stream popping
the real
off.
The real person to thank, and I put this on the bottom of the list, but we might as well front load it, is Yellow with 1,123 days in a row. He did Don't Stop Believing. Twitter spaces, because he promised he would do it every day until 100K, and I do not think he thought it was going to take this long. So shout out to Yellow, who's going to get to do his last space today.
Do you think he's sick of that song yet?
I think it'd be really funny if we fall below 100K by the time his spaces go live.
The prospect of that is
he must possible. Hate the song at this point, right?
I mean, I hated the song in eighth grade when it blew up, when it came back when we were in middle school. I mean, did it blow up in your area too? It was like the biggest middle school dance song ever.
Oh, it was huge. Yeah, it was huge. I mean, we're around the same age. It's like a massive.
Yeah, I got sick of it then. I was like, I'm done with this Journey song. Get it in there. That's why, Yellow, I'm sorry. I think I've popped into one of those spaces because I can only deal with that song so much. With that being said, I do think it is pivotal and important that we hop to Clark's dashboard. Logan's looking for stuff right now. I don't know what he's doing. To give an update, what does the state of the network look like in this brand new world?
While we're doing that, freaks, as always, our ride or dies dwell in our Noster stream, which you can find at rhr.tv/stream. We have Mav21 zapped 21,000 sats, MLX zapped 21,000 sats, and Marks zapped 21,000 sats. And then plenty of other smaller zaps, but those are the top three since we last updated you. Thank you, Freaks, for your support. Marks, by the way, said, while he enjoyed the video, here's a zap for Marty to never do that again. I think that was one of the best things that's happened over the last 6 years of Rabbitohl Recap.
Marks, why don't you come into the studio and say that to my face? I know you're probably in here right now. All right, Clark's dashboard. One of the most important Clark dashboard updates in RHR history. Current price of Bitcoin is 100,840 cuckbucks. One cuckbuck is only going to get you 992 sats. Three-digit Moscow time. Insane. Market cap,
that's a big one, right? You want to talk about psychological? Sats per dollar is less than is three digits now. That's crazy. Love to see it.
I hope you were getting those sats while they were cheap.
Trending to zero. Look, you should have stayed humble in stack sats.
You should still stay humble in stack sats.
But you still can. Yeah.
Yeah.
I think it's important for people. Everyone always thinks they're late. Doesn't matter when you got in. We stack forever.
Was it too late to adopt the internet in 2008? Was it too late to adopt fire in the year 2000 BC? Is it too late to adopt the combustion engine in 1934? No, it's never too late to adopt Bitcoin. It's better technology. It's that simple. It's sitting at a perfect $2 trillion market cap right now. There have been 19,791,680.25 Bitcoin distributed to the market. That's 94.24%. of the 21 million Bitcoin that will ever exist. We are at block height 873,407, which means we had a difficulty adjustment between last week's episode and today. That was an upwards adjustment of 1.6%, which brings us to a new difficulty all-time high. Another one. We are currently 1,537 blocks away from the next difficulty adjustment, estimated to be on December 16th. Right now, it's looking like an upwards adjustment of 5.3%. We're only a couple of days into this difficulty epoch, so take that with a grain of salt. Block's been coming in at 9 minutes and 29 seconds on average. Clark's teeny weeny mempool has 136,433 transactions in it. If we go over to mempool.space, we'll see that they have 277,347 transactions and fees, despite the price pumping, fees are pretty reasonable right now. If you have a high priority transaction, want to get in the next block, attach an 11 sat per V-byte fee to that transaction, medium priority, 10 sats per V-byte, low priority, 9 sats per V-byte. That is the state of the network.
Oh, I have another state of the network.
Give it.
Logan, can you go to Halving Tracker on X? We were talking about Bitstein earlier. This is one of his bots. And he promised me, by the way, that he's going to put it on Noster because Noster's going to have the best bots. Noster's perfect for bots.
I saw you note that the other day.
We're working on it. Noster should, like, you know, the only place you can get Elon's jet tracker is on Noster. It's been banned from Facebook and X. So open up. Can you make this chart bigger? So this is the current cycle since having mapped to the three previous ones. Obviously, there's four halvings. There's been four halvings. Marty, do you still think there's going to be a super cycle? And if you do, does that mean it has to go past the highest cycle in the past? Or like where, at what point does it become a super cycle?
I don't think it has to pass it. I think it just can't go below a certain point after it gets. I don't know if that's good. I don't know. You put me on the spot. I don't know.
Who knows
what's going to happen? Brave new world. It's much easier to go from 100,000 to a million than it was to go from zero to 100,000. That's what I have in my mind.
I agree with that. I agree with that. But look, it's pretty crazy. I mean, it's like tracking pretty, I mean, I have it far away from me, but it's tracking pretty well on the 2016 cycle.
Yeah, that would, I mean, we did the math on that a few weeks ago. That would be 1.8 million if we did the same.
Right. But this is like in pretty chart form. Anyway, this bot posts once a day, and hopefully it'll soon start posting on Nostr. And that doesn't count as, that's not TA. That's just historical stuff.
Comparisons. Yes.
Numbers.
Numbers. We're good at numbers
just,
here.
You should just say Humble and Stacks, that's about it. But I just want to know, like, at what point I can give you proper shit on the super cycle stuff.
You'll know. We'll know when we know. If it ever materializes.
I'll just keep giving you shit. That's the play.
That's the question. Like, will I ever, at what point am I able to say, look, this is a super cycle?
Yeah, at what point?
I don't know. Maybe the next halving? We have to wait until Parker Lewis gets on Nostr until we can.
We'll see what the chart looks like, right? I mean, if it's anywhere within the range of previous cycles, it's clearly not a super cycle. It's just another cycle.
I don't know, man. I don't know. I don't want to say it, but
you already said it. You've said it multiple times now.
This time feels a little different.
Zero.
We're going to dump below 100K as we're on there now, just because I said that. I'm sorry, freaks. It's on me. All right, let's get to the list.
Anyway, I believe it's underperforming all previous cycles right now.
Yeah.
It should be higher.
Should be higher. Send it higher. Super cycle. We do have a job to perform. We have a list. There are things going on outside of the price movements of Bitcoin.
I almost didn't make a list this week, and I was just like, whatever, we'll just reminisce. It's been quite the journey.
There is a lot going on. This happened earlier today. Strike launches bill pay for those of
us. Has it launched yet?
I thought it did, but
It's supposed to launch today, and I asked Jack if it's still launching today, and he didn't respond to me, so I put it on the list anyway.
Well, thanks for the heads up on that. Thanks for the heads up on that.
Hopefully Strike will be launching bill pay today, which is a feature I'm very excited about, because if you live all in Bitcoin, you're forced to like keep a dollar-based float to pay expenses that you have that where they don't accept Bitcoin. Now, or imminently, I guess, if I'm pre-announcing this, I guess. Jack teased the feature online already, so I don't feel like I'm spoiling it too much. But you can just basically, you get an account and routing number, and you can just give that to your credit card company, or you can give that to your mortgage company. And then they'll just, and you keep Bitcoin on Strike, and then it just automatically pulls from the Bitcoin balance to pay your bills. So you can legit live all in Bitcoin, and then when your American Express bill is due, just seamlessly auto pay it from the Bitcoin balance at the time it's due, instead of keeping that float, which is quite frankly a pain in the ass. I'm so excited about this feature that I added it even if they haven't launched it yet, but I think it's supposed to launch today. Exciting.
Beware, freaks, beware. Keep your eye out for it. Very important framing here too. All in Bitcoin.
Yeah. We live in all lifestyle. Join us.
We're taking the RHR knockoff podcast title, and we're gonna ruin their SEO. All in Bitcoin is gonna take over the all in SEO.
Are you really all in if you're not all in Bitcoin? I would say no.
No. Jason seems really focused on Michael Saylor these days.
Yeah, he's really. And I hate that he's doing like the bullshit hater thing where he's like hating on Bitcoin and hating on Saylor. And then he's like, I own Bitcoin. I don't think he really does own much Bitcoin, if he owns any at all. I think it's safe to say that Jason and everything he stands for is incredibly short Bitcoin.
Yeah. No, I think his whole MO is to stir controversy and try to put himself at the center of.
I like how Saylor tried to get in on the All In podcast, which is the good podcast. And then he tried to get him on to like his second tier podcast or whatever. And Saylor said no.
Startups.
Yeah.
Oh, no. Oh, no. It's naughty bet. Thinking about breaking out.
100K.
Not today. Not today.
Yeah, anyway, freaks. Just, you know, constantly refresh your Strike app and hopefully it'll be there at some point.
Are you reading the Zap Dodger? Reeves, that was a good one.
all caps really makes it.
It really does. Moving on. Bitcoin is for enemies. Bitcoin is for everybody. It is an apolitical, open source, distributed protocol that anybody has the ability to access if they can download code, run the code, set up a private public key pair, learn how to receive Bitcoin, send Bitcoin. And this is being acknowledged by President Vladimir Putin, who was on stage, I'm not sure where, yesterday or a couple of days ago. We're not going to play the clip because it's in Russian. I don't think any freaks. Is
it? Marty, read the subtitles as the clip goes.
Okay. Are there any Russian speaking freaks out there?
Just read the subtitle. You'll be the translator.
I'm a voice actor now.
Oh, okay, go.
Now, Bitcoin. Кто может запретить?
Who can ban Bitcoin? Nobody.
Никто. А использование других электронных средств.
And who can prohibit the use of other electronic means of payment?
Никто, потому что это новые технологии.
Because these are new technologies.
Чего бы ни было, чего бы ни происходило.
And no matter what happens to dollar, these tools will develop one way or another. Because everyone will strive to reduce costs and increase reliability.
Bitcoin.
I think that's what Putin would sound like if he had an American accent. Yeah. Putin can't stop Bitcoin.
I listened to the official translator. She did a way worse job than you did. Yours was better. You skipped over the previous link, which is Trump says he'll tariff any countries which leave the dollar. And he specifically called out the BRICS countries, including Russia. It's going to be an interesting few years. In terms of geopolitical economic warfare.
Yeah, I recorded an episode of TFTC earlier this week that drops tomorrow with a gentleman named Mel Mattinson. He was on the show earlier this year, and he had some really interesting thoughts in the game theory around all this. And I think what we just saw from Putin could be positioning, because as we've talked about this, over the last couple of years, the BRICS countries have been accumulating a butt ton of gold. China, Russia particularly, have been buying tons of gold over the last few years and not purchasing U.S. treasuries. Obviously, Russia is not purchasing them anymore after they got them frozen. And Mel, listen to TFTC tomorrow to get a more articulate version of this theory, but he's basically saying that because Trump is going, the incoming president, and the way he's been posturing around a Bitcoin strategic reserve, that is, Bitcoin has firmly entered the geopolitical game theory. And the idea is that Bitcoin is a tool to defang the BRICS countries who are looking to create a gold-backed currency. And if you look at the bill that Cynthia Lummis has put forth, like part of that bill is like repricing the gold certificates that the U.S. government owns that are being held by the Fed up from $42 to where they are today, and then dump them immediately to buy Bitcoin, which would have negative consequences for the price of gold, which would hinder the ability of the BRICS countries to build a currency on their gold reserves that they've been building for years. So I wouldn't be surprised if what Putin was saying was just like a sly sort of shot across the bow of the Trump administration saying, we're onto the Bitcoin thing. Like, we can play this game too. Anybody can.
I mean, it wasn't very smart. Yeah. Like, he just straight up said it. He said the quiet part out loud.
It, I mean, What if we have like a nation state rush to like dump gold for Bitcoin? That's why the super cycle things get weird.
I think what happens first is I do think they try and do a BRICS currency. And then I think trust breaks down and then they switch to Bitcoin, because the beauty of Bitcoin is that it doesn't require trust between counterparties. But my guess is they still try and launch something that relies on trust between them, whether that's backed by gold or other commodities or a mixture of both. Or
tell them why this is wrong.
I can't read it. What is it? Does it say I haven't zapped?
It says you haven't zapped.
The website's broken, clearly. Weirdo robot, your website's broken. I've zapped so much today.
I zapped like four times right before I hopped on, just knowing that this was going to pop up. I'm going to say it's broken.
I zapped so much today. My grandkids are going to be so upset with me, the amount I zapped today. Logan, go to Noster. I think nosterzap.com. Is that it? No, it's, nosterzap.com.
He's there.
Look, it's like, there's literally zap. Oh, you went to my page specifically? Well, now I feel on the spot, but not, I mean, you can do that. That's fine. Public information. Nosterzap.com is, it tracks like all the top zappers for the day and whatnot. It's a really great site. Who is the top zapper today? Go to the homepage.
I'm just seeing live. Not me.
I don't know how to get it to. Does it?
I don't know. They post an update every day.
Bunch of 21s.
Pretty cool.
Back to Putin, Bitcoin. Anyway, what were you saying?
Weirdo robot, your website's broken. Marty and I have both zapped today. Fix your shit.
There it is.
Who's the top one? I can't see.
Ascot 773,200.
Shout out you.
Seth's Ascot. On there. Seth's on there. Shout out to you, Seth.
Oh, because it's really cool. If they zap in our live stream, it also shows up here. So the freaks get credit as they're zapping us on the global leaderboards. And I see Jack up there. Jack had a great note earlier today, which was thanking all the open source developers who helped make 100K possible. Without them, we would have nothing. And it's often a very thankless job. I thought that was very well put. But yeah, if you're not using Noster, you're just missing out on generational wealth. We're just recklessly just sending sats all over the place.
We're going to add something to your Russia thing, BRICS thing. You get completely derailed there.
Oh, Mandibles and Bitcoin Standard. Read it or live it.
Do you want to talk about the other Mandibles topic of the week?
What was the other Mandibles topic of the week?
Came out of New York City yesterday.
Oh, the assassination? Yeah, that was also quite Mandibles.
That's fucking insane, dude.
Yeah, the head of United Health Insurance got assassinated in New York. I guess he had a public shareholder meeting, so people knew he was going to be there. And it seems like someone who got denied health insurance did it.
But you think that's it?
Yeah.
I had some words on the bullet. Alex Berenson, I think it said deny, dismiss, depose on the three bullets that were shot, which is referencing.
It was something else. Deny. But yeah, it was how they handle insurance claims.
Yeah.
Where they reject insurance claims. I mean, that pretty much tells you. I mean, although if it was someone who was pretending it was that, they would also do that, right?
Yeah. How did they not catch it? I mean, what makes me think it was like a corporate espionage shit or something like that. How did they not caught this guy?
I don't know. I mean, did you see the Facebook post that they posted? Like they like took it down after there was like 21,000 laugh emojis were done on the Facebook post.
No. What was that?
people hate like these insurance, like people hate these insurance companies. Like a lot of people's lives have been ruined because of these insurance companies. So there's a lot of motive out there. That's not a, I'm surprised he didn't have security.
Yeah.
That would be my, and my, you didn't even read the book.
Yeah, I did.
But yeah, I mean, wait till people realize that their pensions are all bankrupt.
Yeah. I mean, we had Matt Cole from Strive Funds on TFTC, dropped that yesterday. And I mean, that's, he worked at CalPERS for 16 like years.
Californian pension fund.
Yeah. And he actually dove into the details, is like a lot of the marketing around the underfunding of these pensions is between 20 and 30%, but they're paying out current pensioners 100%. And the real underfunding for people that are going to retire in 10, 20 years is more like 50 to 70%. It's way worse than people understand.
It's fucked up.
Very fucked up.
On a positive note, Bitcoin in Space 2 zapped us 100,000 sats. Joining the Zap War, got a split for family events. Thank you for everything, Odell, Marty, and Freaks. Here to the beginning of a long journey. Cheers.
Cheers to you, Bitcoin in Space 2. Enjoy your family event. Family's important. Moving on to the Human Rights Foundation story of the week coming out of China this week, which prepares for sanctions while eyeing Taiwan. China is actively studying sanctions imposed on Russia to prepare for potential repercussions if it invades Taiwan. Chinese officials visited Moscow's central bank, finance ministry, and other key agencies to analyze how Russia navigated economic restrictions. This proactive approach speaks to fears China may have over its $3.3 trillion in foreign reserves and overseas bank assets, which would face significant restrictions under Western sanctions. In an effort to mitigate these risks, China is working to diversify away from the dollar-denominated assets and reduce reliance on U.S. Treasury bonds, which underpins the global financial system. This comes amid escalating tensions with the U.S. after Washington approved an arms shipment to Taiwan, prompting Beijing to vow resolute countermeasures. Woo! To hear more stories like this and others, sign up for the Human Rights Foundation Financial Freedom Report newsletter, which comes out every Thursday morning at financialfreedomreport.org.
Yeah, I
you loaded this up, man.
I did a triple banger in a row of mandibles is what I did.
You loaded this up.
Guilty.
$3.3 trillion in U.S. Treasury bonds China owns.
Yeah, Jack responded to me in a half an hour ago saying it's rolling out now, announcing it in an hour.
So you got
so you heard it here first, Freaks.
This is where it all happens. This is the room where it happens. This is what the arena is. The live chat on RHR. Shout out to that alpha. Breaking news. Before it actually breaks. That's what you come here for, Freaks. You also come here to participate. You have to read the top four boosts from Rabbit Hole Recap 333, the $100,000 Bitcoin jinx. Top boost from Sill at Pringle Mac on Noster. 100,000 sats. Merry Christmas, legends. You've made 2024 the greatest year yet. You two show up, stand up, and speak up week in and week out. Your bravery is honorable. Here's to looking at you both in person in 2025. Final thought, make every day the place where magic happens. Love, Sill and Tony. Love you, Sill.
Appreciate the support. Merry Christmas. Merry early Christmas.
Merry early Christmas.
Does Australia have Christmas early? Or do they celebrate?
No, it's a Christian holiday. There is a specific date that you celebrate the birth of Jesus
Christ. She just got excited and wished us Merry Christmas.
Our Lord and Savior. Second boost from Scott Orford. Did you read this yet?
No, I haven't read any of them.
It's an ad.
So 50,000. Just he sent us 50,000 sats. Thank you for your support, Freak. If Marty thinks it's an, if Ron Burgundy over there is not just blindly reading it, we're not reading it.
It's like to join a Telegram group about miners.
No.
Okay.
We haven't, have you checked the Telegram group? Is it legit?
I mean, Scott's been around. He's in the mining industry.
Oh, is it BitAx Scott or no?
No, it's a different Scott. I said, Scott.
We'll refund you if you want it.
Yeah, we'll refund you. We don't read ads on the boost. It's been a rule for 5 years since we implemented it. When did Podcasting 2.0 drop? 2019?
I don't know. It's been forever.
Blockchain bug, 5,000 sats. Gobble, gobble.
Thank you,
JB399, 3,500 sats. Pound.
Cheers. Wow, that's a big divergence in the top four zaps. Real drop-off.
I had Miljan on TFTC yesterday, and we were talking about this. Mm-hmm. We officially went under 100K. It's over. Close it up.
I got to take the jacket off.
Take the jacket off. Take it off.
I can't put mics on the jacket.
The Miljan, we were talking about this yesterday. Like, I think the live stream, Zap.stream, is eating into Podcasting 2.0 boost.
Oh, you had Miljan on a Primal?
Yeah.
Wonderful. Did you ask him when Zap stream?
No, I didn't press him on that, but we did talk about we were using the example, like Zap, I was saying Zap.stream, it seems like it's eating into the Podcasting 2.0 boost, but it's cool to see because Fountain, now that it's a Noster client, like it's interoperable and I can be on Primal and get a notification as somebody boosting Rabbit Hole Recap. If they tag me in the note, I see that on Primal first and I go over to Fountain and it's there because it's interoperable. And
yeah, I mean, the big negative is it means we do worse in the Fountain charts because it's coming in through the live stream. But I personally, besides that technicality, I love the live stream zaps. Like, you just feel it so much harder. But anyway, however freaks choose to support us, I love it. But I've definitely noticed it. I've also noticed it with Scylla Dispatch, which is... it's just an interesting thing. It would be nice if Fountain somehow figured out a way to also, I mean, cause they can, it's all,
you can go live. It's on us. You can go live in Fountain now. No agenda doesn't every episode.
No, but then you split your live stream and then that live stream is audio only.
Yeah, no, that's true.
And then you're splitting, and then what we're looking at, two chats. Like, it, I like Zapstream better. Cause I mean, I like the video component, right? They're live with us. We're interacting with the chat. But it'd be nice if Fountain just tracked what the zaps were going on in our live stream to their leaderboard. It's fine. I can stay humble about it. We don't need to be top of the leaderboard. I just appreciate the support regardless.
Marx is saying Fountain could show zaps that happen in the stream.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And then they can include that in the comments underneath. I mean, Oscar's been crushing it. And also, Million's been crushing it. At the end of Scylla Dispatch, he just came on Dispatch last week. It was like an incredibly bullish show. And then I was like, so when are you going to support live streaming in Primal? It's, you know, it's a priority, but it's going to take some time before it happens. I do bust his balls every time he sends me a new release, though, and I ask him where his live stream support, because that would be awesome. I will say Amethyst has live stream support and Noster with a U, Nostur, has live stream support, which is great.
Yeah, Mark, but like going back to that, like Fountain, like this is live streamed over our TMP, and then what Fountain picks up is what we put onto RSS. So I don't know how.
No, but these are all like, these zaps are all Noster events.
I know.
So they can still pull the Noster events.
It could, but it would be like very manual. You'd have to match the video live stream with the RSS feed manually. Like, they're separate now. Like, this podcast doesn't exist on RSS yet, and it's completely separate, like file structure when we upload it.
Yeah, but they could easily count the zaps, because the zaps are going to Rabbit Hole Recaps MPUB during our live stream.
We'll talk to Oscar about it, see if we can figure it out.
I mean, it doesn't really matter.
Oscar, if you're listening.
I do think the leaderboard in general, you know, is a cool concept, but could use some work, and because it's easy to game.
Yeah.
But it's cool. It's nice. It's better than the status quo. Anyway, if you're not using Fountain Podcasts, download that on your favorite app store for the ultimate podcasting 2.0 experience. I do think Fountain is like sneaky one of the best Noster apps, because most people using it don't even know they're using a Noster app, but all of their comments and everything is interoperable with every Noster client. And as a Noster user, it's super cool that if someone comments on Fountain, we can just like natively retweet it. Or zap it or like it or whatever. It's pretty awesome.
It is very
awesome. It works exactly as you'd expect it to without the user even realizing what's going on.
Yeah. On to software updates section of the podcast. This is really cool to see. There has been a 2024 Q4 code audit done by the BDK team, Bitcoin Development Kit. Very important project in the space. Steve Myers and everybody working on that has done an incredible job of getting this project to where it is today. Many projects depend on this development kit to build wallets that are easy to use and actually have all the functionality that you want. Despite how incredible this project has been, it is good to get external validation that the code base is secure. And has been audited by an independent third party. And that is exactly what has happened. It was an effort led by Antoine Poisson from Wizard Sardine, which is a company I trust.
Wait, it's not Wizard Sardine, right? Isn't it Wizardine?
It's Wizard Sardine. No, it's Wizard Sardine.
Oh, wow. Okay.
So, yeah. BDK has been audited.
That's a crazy name.
Wizard Sardine or Wizard Sardine? I always thought it was Wizard Sardine.
Like the fish?
Yeah.
Okay. I mean, does it say it there? Are you reading from it?
Yeah.
Yeah, you're right. Wow.
What did you think it was? Guess,
it's like a wizard fish, huh?
You're just wizards packing stuff into. I don't know. Any comments on this? There's all the air been sucked out of the podcast.
That looks like a fish logo to me.
I love the idea of the code audit. That's a great, just a great practice to be doing. I think they're doing quarterly code audits. Yeah, that's what I put on the list.
So the 2024.
I'd been thinking your name was different this whole time.
They're pushing the team behind Liana, pushing Miniscript forward.
I know. I thought Wizardine was the team behind Liana. I just removed the SAR part.
Wizardine. Yeah.
It's a hard space to keep up with. I do my best.
That's a good thing. There's a lot going on. Eclair version 0.11.0 has been released with official Bolt 12 support, splicing, liquidity adds, and on-the-fly funding prototypes. Pretty big update.
Love to see it.
Big update from Eclair using async update. Damas Note Deck Alpha now available to Purple subscribers. I am a Purple subscriber. I've not checked this out yet. Note Deck is something.
Awesome. Yeah. So I was like a little bit rushed making the list. So apologies to all the developers out there who I might have missed your software release. I kept the software releases kind of light this week. But this one's a big one. It's still very much alpha. So there's still a lot of features to be added and, you know, it's a little bit rough around the edges, but, it's a highly performant native Noster client for desktop that is very customizable. You can see it's a very strong foundation that it's built on top of. And to me, I'm super excited about this. So, I mean, huge shout out to Damas and JB55. For shipping this so far and for continuing to ship at a lightning pace. But if anyone is used to TweetDeck on Twitter and now X, I guess it's a premium feature on X, This is it. UX wise, it looks similar to TweetDeck, right? Where you can have many different feeds. It's like you plug into the matrix, and you can use it however you want to use it. It's like the ultimate power user type of client. So I'm particularly very excited about this. I personally, you know, prefer to not use mobile when I'm using Noster. So to have a highly performant, highly customizable desktop client is a big deal for me. And also I like the idea that premium users, like people who are paying for Domus Purple, get first cut at binary releases, at the releases they can use them first. I think that's a nice ethical way to monetize. And obviously it's open source, so you can, anyone without subscribing can just build it from source if they want to. But if you want the convenience of a binary, just an app install, you have to subscribe. So I would suggest people check it out, play around with it. It's still quite early, but very promising.
Go check it out, freaks. Shout out to the Domus team, JB55. Very important tool. TweetDeck was my entry into the matrix for the better part of a decade until it got completely destroyed.
Yeah, the OG TweetDeck was great.
Yeah.
This is going to be better. This is going to be even better than the OG TweetDeck. This Noster is going to win not because of censorship resistance and freedom properties. I think that's going to be a side effect. It's going to win because it's just going to have a better UX and better tooling. And that comes from it being an open protocol where users can choose the tools that best suit them, and there'll be many, many different options.
It's happening fast. I mean, the first half of the conversation with Milian yesterday was about just the state of Noster and the speed at which things have changed over the last year. And if you project that rate of change forward, things are going to improve rather quickly. Feature parity is close for many aspects of these social media apps, and even superior in other aspects. The personal feed stuff is, and the advanced search is already better on Primal, I would argue, than what you have on Twitter. X, whatever we're calling it these days. Coinbase says no, not to use VPNs. This is hilarious.
Well, I just thought this was really hypocritical because it's like the same CEOs that were like grandstanding about debanking and how unfair debanking was, do similar things to their users, right? It's like if you use a VPN, like your Coinbase account gets frozen.
So for those who are unaware of what happened, I believe this was yesterday, the day before, at least some Ethereum pundit took to X to announce that they have been banned from Coinbase and did not have an explanation, came back hours later after the Coinbase team hopped in as Menchie's and DMs, I imagine. So, sorry, let's figure this out. I don't know what you guys are talking about this. And he came back and said it was because I was using a VPN. And then I believe the head of security of Coinbase came out and said, yeah, we ban VPNs because most people that are attacking individual users of the Coinbase platform are using VPNs to get in. So we just broad brush ban VPNs because of that. It's like, that's insane. I quit. I had a quip. I used a VPN to access my too big to fail bank account the other day. Like, the too big to fail banks can handle VPNs. Coinbase can't? Come on.
Yeah. Quite hypocritical and user hostile. It's not necessary. They can do other fraud measures that aren't so broad brush. I mean, VPNs are just, at this point, is standard best practice for digital hygiene on the internet.
Yeah. Speaking of digital hygiene.
And I think he also said ad blockers too.
Blockers. Yeah. Which is like, if you're using the Brave browser, you can't access Coinbase.
If you need another reason to stop using Coinbase.
That doesn't make any sense. Like, why would the reduction of ad blockers, why would the use of ad blockers prevent Coinbase from, like, how would that enable a hacker to get user funds on Coinbase? That doesn't make any sense.
I don't know. Maybe they're doing some like spyware type stuff where they are tracking browsers.
And didn't they sign didn't they sign a deal with the IRS or something like that?
What?
Coinbase?
Coinbase? Yeah, Coinbase has like their surveillance package that I think they sold to the government.
Oh, yeah. Interesting. Moving on. Alex Mashinsky, notorious shitcoiner. Terrible person. Founder of
Claimed that not your keys, not your coins was FUD. And then his Ponzi scheme blew up.
His Ponzi scheme blew up. He was taking his users' Bitcoin, promising them yield, lending it out to degenerate traders who inevitably and ultimately lost Celsius user Bitcoin. The Ponzi blew up. And he's been grandstanding for years. Celsius, I believe the bankruptcy proceedings have come with civil lawsuits levied against users of Celsius that moved their funds out of Celsius when it became clear that there was a potential for a blow up there. And Celsius went after their users to try to claw those funds back in an attempt to pay out bankruptcy claims. I don't know if that was successful, but it looks like Mashinsky made a plea deal, admitted guilt to 2 charges out of 7, I believe, and he will spend 30 years in prison. Probably not 30, that's the sentence. He may get out early on good behavior, but who knows? Thoughts here, Matt?
I don't know if he's possible of behaving well. I guess we'll find out. I don't know. I put it there because I think when it happened, like a lot of people would have said that, you know, he wouldn't see any jail time for it. I don't want to say it was surprising to see it happen, but it was not necessarily expected, at least this quickly. So seemed notable. Also, just another case of learning from the past, particularly for new freaks that are in Bitcoin. This is their first cycle. There are a lot of people that will promise you too good to be true things. And you need to stay humble and stack sats and learn how to hold Bitcoin yourself. It's not that difficult. Because if you trust someone else with your Bitcoin, they are a security hole. They can steal your Bitcoin. And in the case of Celsius, he was promising like what, like 10% yield or something.
I think like 11.
Grow your stack. You know, you're missing out on these great returns. And he got a lot of people, like a lot of people that should have known better. The Celsius bankruptcy creditor list is public information.
That's why we know that Bhutan has Bitcoin.
Yeah, the Kingdom of Bhutan got caught up in it. But also a lot of individuals that should have known better. So just cautionary tale. I think there will be a lot of people that are going to, you know, tell you that.
They're going to promise you the world. I mean, have the filtering mechanism to recognize these con men. Like Mashinsky was the worst. He came in, was like, oh, I helped build VoIP, the voice over internet protocol. And like, there was many Bitcoiners that I had a lot of respect for that. Like, were trying to get me to have him on TFTC. And I remember Bitcoin 2019, Mashinsky. Yeah. And I don't know, he just always rubbed me the wrong way. I don't know. I'd like to think come from the hard streets of Philadelphia where you learn street smarts and how to recognize when somebody's a bullshitter, and immediately bullshit meter went off with Mashinsky. But there was a lot of people parading him around like, look, he's credentialed. He built VoIP. Like, of course he's going to help Bitcoin. I mean, he spoke at the Bitcoin 2019 conference. People were calling him out. That was where I believe him, Safe, and Jimmy Song, or no, Tone Vaze, had their debate. And he was adamant, like, this is how these con men work. They're very confident, or they present to be very confident that they can do what they do. They don't actually make sense when they're describing what they're trying to do. And they'll deride the sensible people saying you can't get yield on Bitcoin, or asking how you get yield on Bitcoin. Because it is a scarce digital asset. Like, the only way to get yield is to give it out to people who take risk with that and return more Bitcoin. And the history of this market has proven that is extremely hard, if not impossible, to do.
It looks like Seth zapped another 10,000 sats just to maintain his top spot in the stream. I mean, I think one of the coolest parts about this show is literally.
That's the coolest part about this show. Anything could happen, freaks. We're full of surprises. I wonder what Matt was going to say. What do you think Matt was going to say, Logan? One of the coolest parts about this show is that Marty...
He did say anything, right?
Anything.
Can happen. You just got it right.
Anything can happen. He could just hop off the stream at any given point in time.
And I'm back.
What happened?
The battery died, right?
Yeah. I thought I was plugged in.
Paul thought he was plugged in, but it was a battery.
Could you still hear us?
Yeah, we can still hear you. We were like chuckling over here, and he actually did a pretty quick reload on the battery. That was impressive.
Yeah.
What was I saying? Oh yeah, I mean 6+ years, we can just cut the stream at any point, and you would just never see it coming. No, it's like a time machine, right? You can go back and you can see how we were thinking about these things when they were happening. Now I know it takes a special breed of autism to like go back and listen from the beginning. But if you're one of those people, I think it could be quite enlightening to go back to, when did we start? 2018? Yeah. And just listen to every episode from the beginning. It's a little window into the past.
Yeah. And the Celsius situation, I remember Bitcoin 2021 landed in Miami. Terrible OPSEC move. Don't recommend this to anybody, but I was with Tyler Campbell, who is the creator of the intro to these podcasts, from Unchained, and we hopped in an Uber with some random pleb toward the conference area where all the hotels were. There was like a backup, and we noticed he was there for the conference. We're like, hey, we're going to this area. Why don't you hop in the Uber with us? And in that Uber, this guy, I believe he was like a Navy veteran, young guy in his 30s, and he was bragging about how he was essentially semi-retired because he was just living off the yield income on a Celsius account. And this was somebody that served our nation, seemed like a very good dude. And Tyler and I tried to walk him off the fence. Like, this is probably not a good idea. And he was adamant, like, no, don't worry. Like, I'm pretty confident in it. And it's like an example of a good person who was misled by Alex Mashinsky and everybody at Celsius and likely had their life savings completely wiped out.
Yeah, I mean, I would post last cycle. I would tweet like, "Not your keys, not your coins," and like clever memes, you know, of BlockFi and Celsius gonna rug people, like Lobster Trap, and like the. And then the comments underneath would be like, "You don't care about working class people that rely on this yield to fund their lifestyles and to pay their expenses." It's like, no, I do care. That's why you shouldn't be risking your life savings in a fucking Ponzi scheme. And it's just fucking pure insanity. But unfortunately, it'll probably just keep happening again and again because that's the human condition. But hopefully some people will be able to avoid it. And every person that avoids it is a win in my book.
Yeah. Agreed. Beware, freaks, beware. And we will try to make you aware of these scams as they pop up inevitably. Don't buy the Hawk Tua coin. We could have told you that. We were a day late. She did the token offering a day before RHR, of course.
Freaks, if one of you are listening to this and you bought it, why don't you raise your hand in the live chat? This is a safe place. We won't hold it against you. I don't think there's a single person who listens to the show that bought that.
No, hopefully you didn't. There were some Barstool cronies of mine that were asking me if they should buy it.
Yeah, I mean, you really failed your steward.
Oh, don't you dare try to put that on me. Don't you dare.
We're going to, if, you know, that should be on your tombstone.
Dave Portnoy didn't listen to me? That should be on my, like, Marty, I don't know how.
Marty failed Barstool.
I didn't go into him and be like, oh, Elon Musk is going to mine the gold on asteroids. It was like, there's 21 million Bitcoin. You're a rich man. You should have some. Protect this. Don't lose this. Don't lose this. Don't ever sell. And
you really failed that one.
I left Barstool in 2018, and I think he just needs persistent reminding. There's plenty of Barstool, former Barstool coworkers of mine that are doing very well.
To the...
Not,
to the new freaks. Marty seduced me to come on TFTC, the first rip we ever did. And he was like, yeah, like I work at Barstool, like, you know, Barstool. And I was like, yeah, Barstool's like super impressive. Like, oh, like come to the studio. We'll do a recording. And it was, we were in the merch closet with handheld mics in the Barstool merch closet.
You got to do what you got to do, man.
Everyone's a fucking scammer. And then he scammed me into doing this weekly show with him.
And here we are 6 years later. I had to scam him once. I had to remind him, come on, man. One more week. One more week.
Love to see it.
You know what else you love to see?
I brought a Macallan 18 with me for that rib.
Yeah.
If I knew it was a merch closet, I would have brought like.
There was another bottle too. Didn't you have a, had like a skinny neck, if I recall correctly?
No, I think I just broke the Macallan. Yeah. I mean, there was a lot of whiskey that was drinking on this show for many years.
In the early days.
The early days, the soundboard was just an actual cork popping every time.
Yeah, for any of you freaks going back and doing the re-listen to the catalog, we were drunk a lot in the early days. Forgive us.
It was fun. It was fun.
You know what else is good to see? U.S. officials urge Americans to use encrypted messaging apps.
Fucking
what is going
hilarious.
On here? What is going on here?
It's because, remember, their backdoors got owned by China?
Yeah, with the telecom companies?
We covered that previously. They haven't been able to close them yet. So they're like, you need to use encrypted apps because our backdoor is fucking compromised. And they're acting like this is not exactly what everyone said was going to fucking happen when they did backdoors in the first place.
You know, I found out about this. It was actually on Noster. And another Noster.
What's happening?
Yeah. Do you want me to read this?
Yeah.
Our suggestion, what we have told folks internally, is not new here. Encryption is your friend. Whether it's on text messaging or if you have the capacity to use encrypted voice communication, even if the adversary is able to intercept the data, it is, if it's encrypted, it will make it impossible, said Jeff Green, executive assistant director of cybersecurity at CISA. People looking to further protect their mobile device communications would benefit from considering using a cell phone that automatically receives timely operating system updates, responsibly managed encryption, and phishing-resistant multi-factor authentication for email, social media, and collaboration tool accounts, a senior FBI official who asked not to be named told NBC News.
Yeah, so these are the people that have literally been spying on us for years and trying to dissuade us from using encryption apps are finally saying the quiet part out loud. And yeah, I mean, look, it's a national security issue. Like we, as a country, if you care about this country, individuals should have better digital security and digital privacy because as a result at scale, it makes our country more secure from malicious actors externally. This should be standard practice. And I would say again that yes, Signal has a lot of trade-offs or makes very distinct trade-offs, but strictly speaking, if most people moved most of their comms over to Signal, it would be a massive benefit for everyone involved. And I think it's important to realize that a lot of privacy and security purists have some issues with Signal trade-off balance, particularly the use of phone numbers as a spam mitigation technique. They've like basically removed it as a contact discovery technique, but because it's your phone number isn't public now. But they still use it as like spam mitigation for sign up, which is not great. But the UX is something that's easy enough for a grandma to use, right? Like my grandma uses Signal. If you want to go more hardcore, like there's a protocol called SimpleX that is fantastic and is shipping quickly in terms of improvements. I like Matrix a lot. I like Threema. Both, you know, all four are open source. Signal, you have to use their server, but the clients are open source. But yeah, improve your stack. I've moved pretty much like 99% of my comms over to Signal over the last 3 years. And not only, it's way better UX than most chat apps. And you get security and privacy improvements. And I would just say that in most cases, in the overwhelming majority of cases where you see something get compromised, it's because the phones are getting compromised. Like you should treat phones as pretty much owned. If you want a targeted attack, like that phone was going to get compromised. But it protects you from, you know, mass surveillance and easy broad-based surveillance. But if it's an important conversation, nothing beats just having it in person.
Yeah, we covered it a couple of weeks ago, but Signal just updated their video conferencing capabilities, and Matt and I have tested it out. It works very well. If you want to schedule a call and put it in Google Calendar instead of using Google Meets, where who knows what Google's doing with those calls, you can replace it with
the Signal. They give you a link, just like a Zoom link or a Google Meet link. Now you can have a link for video calls. The video calls are pretty good. The phone calls are pretty good. Consider it. And I will say, like, if you need a technique and you have children, tell your family that the only way they're going to get baby pictures is if they download Signal. That one worked like a charm for me. That's how I got my 90-plus-year-old grandmother on Signal.
Beware, Fricks. And how I found out about this important story, highlighting the power of Noster, Matt Blaze, who I haven't seen on X or Twitter for years, frankly forgot about him, but I saw that Rabble retweeted Matt Blaze on Noster, or reposted Matt Blaze on Noster. And I was like, oh, Matt Blaze is on Noster. And then I looked closer and he wasn't on Noster. He was sending messages from the Fediverse.
On Mastodon.
Yeah, and what Alex Gleason has built is this bridge from Mastodon to Noster, where you can cross-post content.
He's building a Blue Sky bridge too.
Is he?
We're going to bridge anything that allows us to bridge. We're going to bridge. We're going to bridge all the things. We're going to have the best bots. We're going to have such good bots that people are going to be like, please, please, Noster, no more bots.
I thought that was pretty cool. That was like, because I remember at Nostriga, Alex giving that presentation of his efforts to bridge the Fediverse on Mastodon to Noster. And that was the first instance where I was like, oh shit, it's happening. And Matt Blaze, I haven't seen him in a while.
The only problem is you can't, like, Matt won't see our responses.
No.
So if you're on Noster, you see everything. But if you're on Mastodon, you don't.
I talked about this with Milan. Milan would prefer the content to be native to the Noster protocol. But in terms of like UX and getting more people to Noster, having more content there, whether or not the people producing the content recognize that people are interacting with it, is good for Noster overall.
We want to comment on it and share it and whatnot. If X didn't close down their API and make it really difficult to interact with content on X, I would say, you know, pull all that content over as well, right? I think we should, any content we can get, let's just pull it all in. The more the better. And then you have a choice if you want to interact with it or not. And hopefully a lot of these people will ultimately move to native Noster eventually. But until then, the bridges are great. I think it's just a clear net win. I see someone in the comments asking, is Signal better than Telegram?
Yes.
Telegram fucking sucks in terms of security and privacy. So by default, like all of your messages are just clear text on their servers.
Did you listen to the Mike Benz Rogan episode at all?
I'm like halfway through.
Well, maybe you haven't gotten to the part yet, but he advertises Telegram as an end-to-end encrypted app. Like if you listen to that podcast, and you believe that Telegram's end-to-end encrypted, it's not. It's not.
Many such cases.
He uses Telegram and WhatsApp as the examples of like end-to-end encrypted apps that you should use.
Yeah, also WhatsApp is fucking spyware. They're hoovering up all your contacts and everything. And this is why I have issues with, like, it's fine to have technical critiques about Signal. There's plenty of things to critique about Signal's trade-off model. But if you compare it to the status quo, which is WhatsApp and fucking Telegram, it is a massive leaps and bounds improvement. with pretty much just as good UX. Now, I will say Telegram is like the fucking champion of UX. Like Telegram UX is just like the app. It just works really, really fucking well. It's incredibly powerful. But unfortunately, it's spyware. So use that information as you will. It's a statement that I can strongly stand behind and I think will age like fucking fine wine. But I've completely deleted Telegram. WhatsApp, unfortunately, when you travel abroad, there's like whole countries that just rely on WhatsApp. So I do install it when I travel abroad. Do not upload your contacts to them. They'll just keep bugging you to upload your contacts. Do not upload your contacts. Do not give them access to your media, like your photos and shit. Like Facebook is just hoovering all of that data up and putting it in the little black book of you. And WhatsApp is super malicious about it too. Like it's almost unusable if you don't give them contact access because it's just all bare phone numbers. It's like you have no fucking idea. Like I have this great nanny in Costa Rica or whatever, and she's just like a random Costa Rican phone number that's like sitting in my WhatsApp. It's like really hard to fucking, they know exactly what they're doing. It's a dark pattern. But yeah, there's my little rant of the day.
Yeah, I was disappointed when Mike said that.
Signal should be very similar in terms of functionality, just better.
I hate WhatsApp. I get spammed on WhatsApp all the time. Never happens in Signal. Yeah. So my number's out there somewhere. Lovely.
Yeah. WhatsApp, and yeah, by default, WhatsApp doxes your phone number to everyone. And also WhatsApp blocks VoIP numbers, right? So you can use an app to generate infinite VoIP numbers, and you can use any of those numbers for Signal. You don't have to use, you know, a number that's attached to your identity. But WhatsApp blocks that. WhatsApp makes it very difficult to use a number that's not attached to your identity, which is not a coincidence. I think that's intentional.
Be aware, freaks. Be aware.
And hopefully, and by the way, Nostr DMs right now fucking blow. They're horrible.
They're not private at all. I would not recommend.
The metadata, everyone can see.
The metadata is not private. Yeah.
Who you message and when you message them, they can't see the contents of the message. But if either of your keys leak, then they can see the contents of your message after the fact. So don't rely on those yet, but we'll improve those. There are multiple people working on improving the Nostr DM situation. So hopefully we'll get it to a point where it's best in class, but we're not there yet.
You're not. Slowly but surely. Making progress. This was good news. Great news. We started covering this in the beginning of the year. Corporate Transparency Act got signed into law, I believe, last year. It goes into effect, or supposed to go into effect, January 1st, 2025. And for those who are unaware, the Corporate Transparency Act is requiring anybody that owns an LLC and operates an LLC in the United States to report personal identifying information with FinCEN. And if you don't, or the up until this point, if you did not comply, you were subjected, you were threatened to be subjected to fines on a daily basis until you did comply and give your information to FinCEN. Earlier this week, a federal court judge out of the Eastern District of Texas essentially ruled that the Corporate Transparency Act is unconstitutional and advised individual go off this. Let people know what our lawyer status is.
Not lawyers.
Not a lawyer.
Massive win though.
A judge out of Texas has said that you don't need to comply. This is unconstitutional. Citing the cost that it would burden small business owners with. I think he calculated.
It was supposed to update it every year too.
Yeah. Like cumulatively insane. It would be like a $30 billion cost on small business owners, which is punitive. So that's one of the terrible aspects of this, to thrust compliance cost on small business owners, many of which are probably not even aware of this at the moment. And then on top of that, it's an overt infringement on privacy rights of individual American citizens and business owners. And so Texas judges standing up and saying this is unconstitutional out of a federal court. Saying you don't need to comply. Not lawyers. This is why I wanted to bring Seth back up. Seth as part of Satoshi Pacioli, which is our accountant team here at TFTC and RHR. And Seth's been badgering me for weeks, like, hey, we got this thing coming up, the deadline is January 1st, fill it out. And I've had the thought that a judge is definitely going to overturn this because it's egregiously unconstitutional. And I'm happy that I held out. And even if things aren't clear by the end of the year, I think I'm still going to hold out because it seems pretty unconstitutional. There comes Matt. I know that was frozen. I knew he wasn't looking at his phone like that the whole time. What happened to you? What's going on over there?
My hard wire cut out. I'm going to blame Steve Myers. He's probably fucking around in the server closet right now.
Steve, come on, man. We just gave BDK props. Just gave BDK props, Steve. Come on. I went on a nice CTA spiel there.
Well, that's good.
Is there anything you want to add?
Yeah, I mean, I think if you haven't complied, it seems like you don't have to comply and you should probably wait. The U.S. specifically stands apart from a lot of countries in terms of our privacy protections for LLCs. It was one of the things that made this country great, and this was a gross overstep. So it's good to see the courts step in line. That's the beauty of our checks and balance system in the U.S. when it works. So it's wonderful to see.
Yes, it is.
Go on.
No, you got it.
No, I mean, I'm probably repeating what you were saying, but it's the same situation that we see with like KYC, AML, all the Bank Secrecy Act stuff, which is the excuse is always like money laundering and criminal activity and whatnot. But at the end of the day, criminals usually get around this shit, and it just affects, honest people that are just trying to live their lives and be productive members of society. But they always use these same excuses because why are you going to protect criminals? If you have nothing to hide, then why do you care? It's the same old bullshit over and over again. So it's good to see when courts rule in the favor of the people and in the favor of freedom.
Yeah, I did not add that context. Nice. So it's very, very much value add context there that you just provided.
Love to see it.
I think you called it another Matt O'Dell prediction coming true.
What?
What Bitcoin did relaunches.
Oh, this wasn't a prediction. I knew about this already. Those are my favorite predictions when I know about something ahead of time. And
when you first rebranded, you said that like, we're going to go to the bull market. Say that.
Yeah. 100%. No, but there's a little bit of nuance here. So Danny, who is secretly the best host of What Bitcoin Did, he's relaunching this as his show.
Oh, so Danny.
Mr. Obnoxious will continue, hosted by Peter McCormick. And then What Bitcoin Did is going to be on a new feed, the feed that they were previously using for Defiance. So that's going to be What Bitcoin Did. So What Bitcoin Did is relaunching. I think it's launching today. I'm not sure if it's out yet.
What the fuck, dude? You got to warn me about this stuff.
So at some point, you'll be able to search in your podcast app for the first episode. But I'm pretty excited about it. I think Danny's a great dude.
Danny's incredible.
I'm pretty excited.
You're stealing the thunder out of people making big announcements. That's twice on this episode.
No. Danny knew I was going to talk about it ahead of time. He said that he wasn't sure if it was going to be out in time for the show. And I said I was going to do it anyway.
All right.
And I won't say who the guest is. I won't say who the guest is, but it's a banger guest. Episode one. So search What Bitcoin Did in your favorite podcast app or YouTube, but probably not yet. Probably search it in a couple hours and it'll show up. But the hole that What Bitcoin Did left has been refilled by What Bitcoin Did. So there you go. There's your alpha.
Congrats to you, Danny. I'm really excited to see your new show. Danny, for those who are unaware, is incredible.
I'm pretty excited about it.
All right. Now I am too. I did not know all the context that you just provided. Very excited for this. All right. We're back below $100,000, currently sitting at $98,054. Disregard everything that has been said over the last 16 hours. Get back to work. We got completely, we did not stay humble for the last 16 hours.
I think we've been quite humble. I mean, there's been no price predictions. I mean, one of us said that it's going to be a super cycle multiple times. But I think you should just stay humble and stack sats about it. Bitcoin has a tendency to humble everyone who tries to leverage trade these moves, and this time seems to be no different.
Are the shorts getting wiped out? Or the longs, excuse me. Looks like it.
And at least if we never go over 100K again, like, at least Yellow is absolved of his obligations to do Don't Stop Believing.
Well, actually, is he? Is it, what are the technicalities here? Does it have to be over 100K while he's actually doing the space?
I don't know. I think he's released of his obligation.
I'm going to hold him to a technicality. Unless he did the space while Bitcoin was over 100K, he's not released of his obligation.
I don't think he's done it yet. I think it's at like 6 p.m. or something.
At least one more day, sir. At least one more day. Maybe another 1,100 days.
I think it wasn't very humble of him not to do a special morning edition of the spaces just to make sure he had it out of the way.
Big assumption there, Yellow. Bad one. Looks like you're going to have to continue doing this for at least one more day, potentially many more.
I guess the benefit of going under is it opens up the possibility that we might pass through 100K again on the next episode. So we could actually have four episodes of RHR titled at 100K. would be a big win SEO-wise.
It takes the it's coming out. The bank runs will continue.
Marty goes to me right before we start. He's like, what'd you title this episode? I was like, 100K Bitcoin. He's like, great title.
Should have known. Back under 100K. Sats are on sale. If you want to get 1,000 sats for a dollar, you can do it now.
Stack 1,000, them up free.
1,015 sats for one cuck buck right now. They're on sale. Go get them while they're hot. I am headed to Abu Dhabi. I get the pleasure of joining Saifedean Ammous and Alan Farrington debating Justin Sun and two other dudes I've never heard of next week in Abu Dhabi.
Oh yeah, dude, that's something. That's exciting. Something. There'll be a lot of eyes on
you. Was not expecting it. I was not expecting Justin Sun to be on stage. Bitcoin versus crypto.
Are you going to bring up the banana he paid $6 million for that was taped to a wall?
Yeah. It's too easy.
You should just bring a banana on stage and eat it while you're talking.
No, I'm not going to make a spectacle out of this. This is actually a legit debate. Like, there's a moderator. I think it's debate styles called? The Jeffersonian.
You're not going to make a spectacle out of it. Justin Sun's on the opposite side. It's already a spectacle. You're participating in a spectacle. It'll be a great spectacle. Oh, Danny Knowles in the comments. 69,000 sats.
Thank you, Danny.
My pre-announcement has been approved.
Danny.
And also, episode isn't over yet, and it looks like everyone has bill pay on strike now.
Let's go.
Talking about redemption arcs, since I just lived one on the episode, did you see Roger Ver is claiming that the U.S. exit tax is unconstitutional? That's his court defense?
I am for that.
I mean, if he wins that, that'll be the greatest redemption arc of all time as an American Bitcoiner.
Yeah. I hope he does.
Yeah. I used to work through my head, like, how can this guy ever redeem himself? Like,
sets the precedent where exit tax is unconstitutional. That's a pretty big. That's full redemption. That's full redemption, if you ask me. Roger.
I mean, I agree. I think it's unconstitutional. It's ridiculous.
It is insane.
Do we even live in a free country?
It would seem if the U.S. government is able to punitively tax you for wanting to leave, it doesn't seem very free, right? I don't know. Seems like we're getting freer, though. You have these federal court judges saying, hey, Corporate Transparency Act, get out of here. Maybe you have another judge come in and say, hey, Roger, you know what? You're onto something here. I'm looking at the Constitution. It doesn't say anything about an exit tax. You're absolved of the charges. That would be great.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's probably low probability, right? But we'll see. We'll see how it plays out. Man.
This is a truly special time in human history, in American history. A lot of things are happening in a way in which I would never have thought possible. Would not surprise me if a judge comes in and is like, psh. Like, how much money, like, does it actually provide material revenue, the exit tax?
Yeah, I mean, they hit Roger with, I mean, it's like $100 million plus.
Yeah, but how many people are doing it, and how many people with as much money as Roger Ver doing it?
Well, I think it just keeps a lot of, like, it allows you to have more aggressive tax policy domestically, right? Like, remember when we were talking about Italy or the Netherlands, I think it was the Netherlands.
Yeah.
Doing Bitcoin unrealized cap gains tax or additional Bitcoin capital gains tax. Like, what's the immediate response? Immediate response is people like, oh, well, if you do that, I'm going to leave. In the US, if we leave, we have to still pay taxes as if we sold everything. So it's basically like every single person has a gun to their head, whether or not they choose to use it or not. So I think it makes the whole system even more predatory than it is already.
Yeah. I'm getting yelled at.
What?
For the bill payment.
It's cool to announce.
It's just getting called out for front running, you know? And I want it to be known. Anybody listening to this is Matt's fault, not mine.
Who's calling you out? Oh, Dylan is? I'm not sure. Is he telling me I can say this or I can't say this? Because
I don't know. I'm waving my hands. This is your fault. This is on you. I had nothing to do with this. I don't make the list. I just read it. I am Ron Burgundy.
We're not front running the announcement. We are the announcement.
What a world. What a time to be alive.
Anyway, I love you, Dylan. I love you, Jack. The strike team is family to me, so you guys are awesome. Keep crushing it.
Do we have anything else? I think we go back over 100K ever? Is this it? Is Bitcoin dead?
I'm not making price predictions for the cycle.
The dollar sign's back on the block clock.
It's cool. Damn it. Goes back and forth. That's really state-of-the-art technology right there. Mm-hmm. Now, I'd be very surprised if in the near future we don't swing back up. Like, the psychological barrier has been broken. This is just leverage traders getting washed out. Like, who's like selling right now? I mean, there's plenty of people selling. Every trade has a seller and a buyer, but long-term stackers are who set the floor, and we remain incredibly unfazed.
Well, hey, gentlemen, I don't know your name. I just saw this short clip on CNBC of Joe Kernan absolutely shoving you in a locker, telling you missed it. You have the opportunity to not miss getting in on Bitcoin before $100,000. It has been represented to you, and you should probably take it.
Guys, I'm going to ask you to do a favor, freaks. Yeah, this is like a time machine. You can now buy in if you haven't yet. But I want to take a moment here for the freaks. If you could go onto X or to Noster and retweet Strike's bill pay announcement and just act surprised like I didn't tell you, that would be very helpful.
Whoa, didn't see this coming.
Perfect. Appreciate it.
It's not even out here. You're fucking this up.
Is it not? When it comes out, do that and act surprised. Just act really surprised.
All right, I think before we get ourselves in any more trouble, I think we need to wrap up here.
Okay, stay humble, stack sats. Love you, freaks.
Peace and love.